Okay, good evening, everybody here at the Jewish Center at Teaneck. Yesterday, I started to discuss the plague of darkness, and I shared with you a question that I had had since my teenage years, which is that even though it's the ninth of the 10 plagues, and you would think that there's some kind of climactic build, that is to say that the plague should be increasing in severity, clearly the death of the firstborn is the most severe plague of them all. So it always seemed somewhat anticlimactic to me that the ninth plague was just darkness. I didn't think that necessarily stacked up to the third plague of lice or the sixth plague of boils or the seventh plague of lethal fiery hailstones or locusts, which completely destroyed the Egyptian economy. After all, this was just darkness. So, you know, I'm not saying that it would be fun to be in the dark for 3 days or, according to the rabbinic interpretation, for 6 days, but you know, it was a little anticlimactic from my point of view. So what I tried to suggest yesterday was that the solace that you could find in the first eight plagues, if you were Egyptian, was the fact that you at least had some company. Misery loves company. And all the Egyptians were in the same boat. All the Egyptians wouldn't be able to have water to drink. All the Egyptians were subject to the piercing shrieks of the Tzvardea. All of the Egyptians were subject to lice. All the Egyptians were subject to the wild animals and to the plague of Dever, and all the Egyptians were subject to boils, and all the Egyptians were subject to the hailstones and the locusts. But when it came to darkness, the Torah emphasizes, Lo ra'u ish es achiv, v'lo kamu ish mitachtav shloshes yamim, that it was isolating. And in that way, God was waging a kind of a psychological war against the Egyptians, because especially according to the rabbinic interpretation, not only were they not able to see each other, that's what it says in the Torah, but according to the rabbinic interpretation, because the pasuk says, v'yamesh choshech, that the choshech became tangible, almost palpable, because of that, the rabbinic interpretation is that they were unable to move, they were literally immobilized for days 4, 5, and 6, so that would create a profound sense of isolation, of literally being stuck and being unable to communicate in any which way with another person. So that's what I said last night. I just wanted to share with you another suggestion that I've tried to develop over the years, which is based on a Rashi, actually, and a little bit of a Medrash Tanchuma that I have open in front of me. Rashi takes the position that all of the Makos were for 7 days. Now, if that's true, then Choshech, which is 6 days, according to the rabbinic interpretation, is missing a day. And in fact, I found for the first time this year in the Medrash Tanchuma, where the Medrash makes the argument that the seventh and final day of Choshech was the Choshech, the darkness that the Egyptians experienced on the banks of Yamsuf. You'll recall that it says there was a cloud that went between the Jewish camp and the Egyptian camp. So I'll read here from the Medrash. Ezehu Yom HaShvi'i, what was the seventh day of Choshech? There were only 6 days in Egypt. Vayhi Anan v'achoshech v'yo'er es halayla, zeh yom shel Yamsuf. That is to say that on Yom Suf, the Jewish people had the Amud Esh, the pillar of fire that was creating illumination for them. And so that, in effect, was their reality, whereas the Egyptians were left in darkness. So if that's true, then that would be a very profound answer to the question, right? It wasn't that Choshech was only darkness, but that it was 6 days of preliminary darkness that would lead up to a seventh day of the utter destruction of the Egyptian military at the Yom Suf. So that would be one way of answering question. A related answer would be something that I've suggested in years past in other contexts, which is that if it's indeed true that all of the Makos were for 7 days and Choshech, according to the rabbinic interpretation, is only 6 days, well, then you can make the argument, interesting argument, that actually Choshech is part one of Makas Bechoros, which gives you the seventh and final day also. The reason that I find this appealing is that it makes a great deal of sense according to the Rabbi Yehuda Hayanosin Bahem Simanim that we say in the Haggadah every year, Tzach Adash Be'achav, oh, it bothers every kid, why isn't it 3, 3, and 3? But if you understand that Choshech and Makas Bechoros are in effect two parts of one plague, then it's actually perfectly symmetrical. You have 6 days of Choshech, the seventh night being Makas Bechoros, and then that would conform to all of the rabbinic parameters that we laid out before. So just to summarize what we said the last 2 nights, 3 different approaches to understand what Makas Choshech was. Either an isolating psychological warfare on the Egyptians in its own right, number one. Number two, we suggested that Choshech may have only come to its culmination on Yom Suf when the Egyptians experienced that seventh and final night of darkness. Or my preferred suggestion, that Choshech is actually a kind of a preliminary Makkah to Makkas Bechorus, and that in effect, even though we talk about the 10 plagues, it's very symmetrical. There are three groups of three, Rabbi Yehuda Hayanosin Bahem Simanim, Tetzach, Hadash, Ve'achav, in which case it's really three, three, and three. The Choshech was a way of isolating and softening the Egyptians up before the ultimate plague of Makkas Bechorus. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha, Maretzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos, Es Yisrael, Lefikach, Hirbam, Tamitzvah, Shenemar, Adonai Chavetz, Aman, Sidko, Yagdil, Terav, Yadir, Kaddish, Terabanan.